to an extremity during exercise. Blood flow restricted rehabilitation allows significant strength gains with minimal stress to the involved joint. This is ideal for anyone that is unable to tolerate high intensity workouts, including pre and post surgery. PT Associates of Emporia at 12th and Industrial, 620-208-7878.
All the latest sports news and views. Actions and reactions. Your questions and comments. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk on KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local.
And good Saturday morning. Welcome to Sports Talk, driven by LongmineAuto.com. Greg Ray, Tim Miller, as the sun is shining. It'll be a little cooler than what it was yesterday and going to be tomorrow, but hopefully not as windy on this Saturday. Next week is Easter Sunday, and this first day of April. I've been trying to come up with a good April Fool's prank, but I haven't been able to come up with one. The only one I could, you know, you try to come up with something on April Fool's Day, and we just received word that Bill Self is leaving KU.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah,
something like that. April Fool's.
Nobody needs that today. Just watch the social media today. I'm going to – and everyone yesterday thought the April Fool's with the Kansas football program, everyone thought that was a joke with them hiring Sean Snyder. And then come to think of it, about it, it's real. And then not long after, there's a picture of Lance Leipold with Sean Snyder wearing crimson and blue. And I'm just wondering what Kansas State fans were thinking if they saw that yesterday.
Well, you have to go where the jobs are sometimes, and sometimes it may be with your arch rival. And wish if you're a KU fan, you're probably glad to have Sean Snyder. He brings some insight into the program. He's been not only at Kansas State, but was at USC for a couple of years, and then at Illinois. So he's been at a couple of other locations before he goes to work with Lance Leipold, and he's going to work for a coach who I think is as much in line with what Bill Snyder did at Kansas State as he's trying to do at KU, and I would put him almost in the same area code of Bill Snyder as far as philosophies and how he wants to do some things as far as running a program. And then we'll liven up the rivalry just a little bit when those two schools get together on the gridiron, as Coach Leipold doing some good things at KU, and Kansas State's Coach Chris Klieman doing some outstanding stuff as well at Kansas State. So that just will make things a little bit more, bring a little more to it when that game rolls around.
Yeah, and I think that, certainly, the fans obviously are more inclined to be dismayed with a hiring like this. But in the coaching circles, like you said, I mean, you go where the jobs are at, and there's an opportunity there. And certainly a chance for him to get closer to home, too. There was not an opportunity at Kansas State, or at least didn't appear to be, or nothing that he necessarily wanted to do. I don't know. It was kind of a weird separation there to begin with. But great coach, good special teams coach, very much a proven track record, and will certainly help the coaching staff at Kansas. And it certainly does add to the rivalry, though, no doubt about it. And I think Coach Leipold has that program head in the right direction. Still a lot of work to do. But in year two to get to a bowl game, I think that's pretty darn successful. So,
and I think they have their spring game next Saturday. I think it is.
Yeah, it's coming up.
So that's coming up shortly. And in case people are wondering, too, since I mentioned spring game, when's Emporia State's spring game? It'll be on April the 15th, so we're a couple weeks away from that taking place, at least 2 weeks away from the football spring game. So believe it or not, spring is – it's April. How unbelievable is it? It's April the 1st.
Yeah, the first quarter just blew by. But, man, that seems to happen now on a regular basis. As we get a little advanced in age, time seems to really fly. So, it's crazy that we're into the second quarter of the year already.
Last night, And yesterday, a lot of local stuff going on in Emporia. The Emporia State baseball team last night playing Rogers State, a game that goes 11 innings. Rogers State ends up winning 10-6 as they score 4 runs on 4 hits and 2 errors in the top of the 11th inning to break a 6-6 tie. As we mentioned with Coach Seth Wheeler in the post game, it was a roller coaster ride. Rogers scores 2 runs in the first. Emporia State answers with 2 runs in the bottom of the first, and then Rogers State would score a single run in the second inning and end up leading 6-4 before Emporia State scored 4 runs in the bottom of the sixth inning to tie the game at 6, and it stayed that way until the 11th inning when Rogers State was able to punch through and get the victory. Emporia State and Rogers State again this afternoon, 2 o'clock first pitch. Encourage you to come on out. It's going to be not a bad day. Temperature is supposed to be in the 60-degree range by the time first pitch rolls around. And encourage you to come on out. It's not supposed to be as windy as it's been the last couple of days. But if you can't, we'll broadcast the game for you on Mix 104.9. And hopefully it'll be done by the time the men's Final Four gets underway with first pitch at 5:09. As that first game should be a dandy one. San Diego State, Florida Atlantic, followed by UConn and Miami, and we'll talk about those games here in a little bit. Also, yesterday here in Emporia High softball baseball team swept by Topeka Hayden, losing 12-1 and 11-1. We'll be visiting with Emporia High baseball coach Anthony Markowitz here in just a few moments. Here at the bottom of the hour, we'll bring him in as part of the show. We'll talk about that game. Also yesterday, ESU high school relays taking place, and over 800 athletes competing from 20 different schools, and they finally wrapped it up about 11:30 last night.
Yeah, and that's after starting field events at 3 o'clock, and there were still field events going into the latter part of the darkness.
Of course, the wind, I'm sure, had a little bit to do with the fact that things went probably a little bit slower than what they were hoping it would go, especially with some of the field events, especially when you get out to the discus area and you get out to the javelin area where there are no lights. Mm-hmm. You can do some of the long jump and triple jump stuff and maybe even the pole vault stuff. You'd want to wait for the wind to kind of die down for that to make it safe. And the shot put, since it's inside the stadium, you can do it. But some of those events, especially the javelin and the discus, you need to get those before the sun goes down.
I bet the pole vault was an adventure.
That's one event I would not.
I mean, you're talking about the wind yesterday. I mean, and it's not like there was a lot of, you know, times where it wasn't blowing. Pole vault probably the last thing I want to do on a day like yesterday.
But they did compete in the pole vault yesterday.
Yeah, I was actually I got the results from yesterday pulled up. I was going to see what the heights were of the winning athletes.
I guess if you were going downwind, you get a nice lift once you got into the air.
Well, the thing is, that wind was from out of the west. So they'd been jumping into a crosswind.
Yep.
So the girls' winner cleared 10 feet, and then the boys' winner cleared 13. So I think that's kind of about average for both the winner would get in the pole vault. So,
but then that wrapped up late, and then also yesterday, Emporia State softball team, they were in Maryville, Missouri, and split a doubleheader with Northwest Missouri State. Won the first game 5-2, ended up losing the second game 11-1. They'll be in St. Joe, Missouri today for a doubleheader. Emporia High softball team opened up their season with a split at Topeka Hayden. They ended up winning the first game 10-7 before losing game 2 12-0 in 5 innings in that contest. Their next games will be on Tuesday when they go to Washburn Rural. So a lot going on. Emporia State women's tennis team also a winner over McPherson yesterday, 4-1. Busy week continues for the Emporia High boys tennis team. They have another tournament coming up today. In fact, they'll get underway in about an hour, out at Emporia High. And then Emporia High girls soccer team also in action today, as they will be playing in the Titan Classic. They'll play at noon against Wichita East for the seventh place. And those girls, I'm guessing some of them are ready to get that match over with. It's prom night.
It is. It is. I saw a couple of them yesterday, and they're like, we got to go play, and then we got to get back for prom.
Go in your uniform.
That's right.
But, yeah. But Oscar Macias's bunch, they're battling some key injuries right now, and that's why they're battling a little adversity right now.
Well, that's part of the learning process of how to handle that adversity, and I think athletics does a great job of teaching youngsters how to handle adversity, and there'll be lessons well learned that they can take with them once they finish up their athletic career and once they get into life, and they can make it through some of these adversities, allow them to handle even more challenging adversities later on in life. One of the many benefits of high school athletics. Mentioning the NCAA Final Four, and on the women's side last night, they played their semifinal games, and wow, a couple of pretty decent basketball games last night, and of course the one that everybody's talking about this morning, Iowa upsetting South Carolina 77-73, ending South Carolina's 42-game winning streak. 41 points from Caitlin Clark. What a tournament she's having.
Well, I was just going to say that the difference is Iowa had the best player on the floor, and that was the big difference in the game, obviously. I mean, going for 41, and, man, what a player. I mean, she's really, really good. And as you mentioned, having a tremendous tournament, I believe that was a record point-wise, what she did last night in a semifinal. She's fun to watch, and she kind of put that team on her back, and away they go. And, you know, South Carolina, it is what they were doing this year. Obviously, it's tough to go through a season undefeated, and they went 36-0 before they got beat. Obviously, a great run for them. They're the defending national champion, but yeah, Iowa and LSU now, and Kim Mulkey, who was at Baylor for a long time, goes to LSU. Year two, hasn't played for a national title. Pretty remarkable.
And LSU, they defeat Virginia Tech 79-72. That was a close game, and that championship game will be played tomorrow. I think it's a 2:30 tip-off, so you can check out the women's Final Four championship game tomorrow. And again today, the men's Division I champ semifinals, beginning with San Diego State playing Florida Atlantic. That'll be a 5:09 tip-off with the second game between UConn and Miami. You can hear both those games here on KVOE, and our Final Four coverage gets underway at 2:30 this afternoon. So a lot going on.
Yeah, and I think certainly most people feel like UConn, I mean, it's kind of their tournament to lose. They've been playing by far the best. I mean, they've been dominating in this tournament to this point. But, hey, I mean, you know, Miami has played well also. Should be a really good game potentially. And then man, the story, of course, on the other side of things with San Diego State and Florida Atlantic, just incredible. Three teams making their first trip to the Final Four. I'll be curious to see what the TV ratings are with this.
Yes.
You know, no Duke, no Kentucky, no North Carolina, no Kansas, no Villanova. I mean, I'll just be curious to see what the viewership is like.
And there might be people who just watch it to see what San Diego State and Florida Atlantic do, see how they play, see if they can advance, see if I don't know if you want to call them Cinderellas, but you know they weren't two of the teams that you would have put at the top of your bracket when you filled them out. Which I don't know. Marcus Urkel on Monday Morning Quarterback said there were like of the I think it's the ESPN or CBS brackets, out of the 2 million that were filled out, only 37 had this Final Four.
I'm surprised there were 37. Mm-hmm. I mean, quite frankly, I mean, you know, you have a 4, 2 5s and a 9 in your Final Four. But you know, it's been a great tournament from that respect, and that there's new blood in there, and some people like that. You know, it gives it a little different flavor, and It's been very entertaining. Unfortunately, the Big 12 didn't wind up with anybody in the Final Four. But
first time in what, 3 years, 4 years?
I'm trying to think. It may go back further than that even. I mean, of course, they didn't play in 2020, but I thought I saw somewhere where first time since 17 maybe.
So, yeah, KU made it in 18, then Tech made the national championship game in
19,
and then Baylor in 21. And
Kansas
and then
in 22.
Kansas in 22.
So it's been a while. Very, very interesting tournament.
But there is a Big 12 team playing for a championship today.
Yes, there is.
Kansas women's basketball team playing for the WNIT championship game. They'll be taking on Columbia out of the Ivy League. Now, there's a program that a lot of people haven't heard of or are aware of. They have basketball there.
Yeah.
It's not intramurals. And that championship game will tip off at 4:30 at Allen Fieldhouse as KU gets to host, has the privilege of hosting all of their WNIT games. And they've been winning their games in the WNIT by an average of 18 points per game.
Yeah, great postseason run. I know they were very disappointed they didn't get an NCAA tournament bid.
Yes.
And it looks like they've turned around that and put it and they've used that here in the NIT. But they've played some really good basketball, and kudos to Coach Snyder. And it's great to see him have a nice run, and hopefully they can finish it off today.
Yeah, and that game tips off at 4:30 at Allen Fieldhouse. If you want to watch that, it'll be on CBS Sports Network. We do have Emporia High baseball coach Anthony Markowitz on the phone line with us as the Emporia High baseball team season is off and running. Good morning, Coach Markowitz.
Hey, good morning. How are you guys?
We're doing okay. How are you doing this morning?
Oh, not too bad.
Well, it's been kind of a rough start for this year's baseball team, and hopefully this is something that'll get corrected as you go along, but scoring runs has been a challenge for in the early going to get for this baseball team.
Yeah, for sure. You know, we have struggled just to put the ball in play, really. I think we've all talked as coaches, and in high school baseball especially, you put pressure on the defense. I think you can generate some runs just by putting the ball in play. And unfortunately, we're giving quite a few outs to the opposing teams when it just comes down to the pitcher and the catcher.
As you try to analyze it, does it come down to just the luck of the draw, so to speak, or are there some things that maybe your guys can do a little better at the plate?
I think we got guys that are trying to do a little too much. I don't know if it's getting away with bad habits when they're younger. I don't know what that is. But we see it at the plate where we got guys that are really, really coming out of their shoes swinging. And you know, all you really need to do is get the barrel to the ball in baseball, and sometimes the velocity or whatever it is that can do the rest. And if you just have better hands, better approaches at the plate to stay gap to gap, I think good things can happen.
Everybody wants to be Mike Trout and hit one out of the ballpark, don't they?
I guess something like that. Pretty hard to do as some of those other guys do that they might see on TV, and so I maybe false sense of reality, it kind of is what you're saying. Yeah,
well, it's still early in the season. You're just four games into the season, so there's those opportunities for things to kind of level out and maybe get their stride, because if you want to be honest about it, when you want them playing their best baseball will be middle part of May. So you still have about 6 weeks to kind of figure some things out with this baseball team. Let's talk a little bit about your baseball team. How many guys do you have back from last year's team?
We got quite a few back from last year, pretty deep sophomore class. And then we got three seniors back that played last year. And then, a couple more seniors that came out this year. We got a pretty good. We like our mixture of guys that are back, and then some of the incoming new guys. And like you said, it's a good mixture, but at the same time, it's only as good of a mixture as our younger guys are able to to kind of be put into some bigger roles and accept those roles and be able to play the game in a style and kind of the speed that it takes to play varsity baseball, I guess you could say.
Coach, what do you like about your young guys? I know Max Rusko, Madden Seidel, a couple of those guys, and Owen Ruge. Those are all sophomores. How do you feel like they're learning, you know, like with guys in that senior class with Aiden Skiles and Drew Hess?
Well, you know, we obviously like the things that they can do skill-wise. I think Owen and Max both probably were our leading hitters overall last night. But our seniors are well aware that those two guys are probably our two most talented hitters. What we would like to see those guys do a little more is approach the game with a little more maturity, in the sense that when we make a play to get off the field, or we make a play to kind of keep a big inning from happening, we got to show some emotion. And our seniors do a good job of coming off the field talking and getting energized and trying to get those guys into it. And I think what we're seeing right now is just kind of some blank faces. And I don't know, maybe, you know, I don't think that's the fault of the players. You know, I think they care. They want to win. They want to do the right things. Those younger guys are just thinking too much, and the game's going at a different speed. And some of those older guys have been through it, and the game kind of slows down, and you're able to play with emotion and play with energy. And I think overall that's really where those guys got to get back to speed and play the game and have fun. You know, right now there is a lot of thinking as the game matures as you mature. You know, like it the game speeds up, the game gets a little more emotional, the game gets a little more tight, the situations get a little more pressure to them. And I think some of those guys just have a lot going through their head right now that we would like to see. There's really no way to replicate it in practice, and you know, hopefully as the season goes on that can get fixed.
It sounds like that especially the younger players are just, sometimes you have to been there, done that in the game of baseball, and they're experiencing varsity high school baseball for the first time. Yeah, they've probably played a lot of baseball, but this is a different level of pressure. This is a different level of, I won't say expectations, because I'm sure their expectations are the same. But sometimes when you're going up against baseball players who have played a little more baseball, have a little more experience under their belt, it makes it a little more challenging.
Yeah, I think they're understanding that. You know, like I said, it's tough. I think we had 15 practices before our first game, maybe more than that. But, you know, a lot of those practices are spent with a lot of fundamental stuff and a lot of stuff that we trying to get them to get in the routines of the way that our practices. And what like I said, you just can't replicate the speed, like you were talking, the maturity of the game, the level of a varsity baseball game. You know, you're playing against some guys who are already ready to go play college baseball. And some of those guys that are going to play college baseball, it's not so much the skill level that's so much different. I mean, some of the guys, you can see the skill level is the difference. But with some of them, it's just the way that they approach the game and the confidence they have in themselves. And they're able to play the game a little more freely because of the way that they're seeing the game through their own eyes.
How much of it is trying to teach a young baseball player that with each at bat you have to have a certain approach, you have to have an idea of what you want to do with that at bat? You want to, you know, if you have a runner at first base, you want to try to move him over. How am I going to try to move him over? How much of it is trying to teach young baseball players? It's not just going up and swinging a bat; it's going up and swinging a bat with a purpose.
That's huge. You know, I think, like I said, like we all said already today, that I think you can get away with a few things when you're younger, that when you're going up against a guy that knows what he's doing on the mound rather than just up there throwing it, you got to be able to tone your swing down and have good hands. And we got a lot of guys that go up there and swing with their bodies and not their hands. And then situationally, we would like to move runners. We'd like to stay gap to gap. We'd like to string together some hits. Big innings against us this year haven't really been a multitude of hits. It's been more of a, you know, we've walked some guys, we've hit some guys, then we made a couple errors, and then they had one big hit, you know. Where I think you get a lot of energy and a lot of rhythm as a team offensively is when you're able to string together some hits. And we got a bunch of – we got guys that are trying to all get one big hit rather than a bunch of stringing together some hits. And, you know, I think that's no fault to them. I think they're trying to do – they're trying to help their team out. They're trying to do the right things, but they're just trying to do a little too much at the plate.
We're visiting with Emporia High baseball coach Anthony Markowitz here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk. And let's talk a little bit more about your baseball team. You know, one of the keys to having a good baseball team is pitching. What's your pitching staff look like this year?
I think, you know, I think Owen Ruge, sophomore, has thrown two pretty good games. You know, last night, the game he pitched, I think he's probably pretty upset with himself. I don't think it was as good as what he threw the week before. However, I think that game's a little misconstrued. I think we make a couple plays defensively, and that game's not a 10-run game. I think, you know, we were down 3-1 or 3-0, something like that. That game's a lot closer if we make a couple routine plays with two outs and get out of an inning. But at the same time, you know, I think as the game went on, Madden Seidel, who started the first game yesterday, threw pretty well as the game went on. We can't spot a team runs in the early innings. And I think some of those, like we talked about, those younger guys is understanding how important it is to warm up properly, throw enough pitches in the bullpen before the game, and kind of, you know, maybe take that advice from the older guys when they're telling you that. But those guys, you know, I think they competed overall on the mound. Max Rusko has thrown for us. Drew Hess has thrown for us. Drew's came into a couple of games that probably not a favorable spot for a pitcher to be in. But again, that's kind of the reason that he's came into those spots is that we trust him. We trust him to come in, because he's pretty strong mentally. And, we think that he can give us what we need in those positions on the mound.
What's the rest of your schedule look like? Next week you're to Junction City, and then what's up next for your ball club?
Yeah, that's the kicker. It doesn't really get a whole lot easier. We don't have a whole lot of breaks in our schedule. Junction City, and then the following week is Junction City next week, and then Washburn Rural on Friday. Washburn Rural is one of the better teams, I think, in 6A, and then the next week we play Topeka High, who surprised some people and swept Washburn Rural earlier this week. So after that, you know, we do have, with our league kind of in shambles or whatever you would call it, we play Iola, who I think is undefeated. They're having a good season. I think they were projected to be pretty good in 4A. And then we come back home and play Dodge City and May South after I think we play Manhattan, you know, some of the rest of those league schools. So,
well, Coach, thanks for taking time out and visiting with us here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk. Good luck the rest of the season, and look forward to seeing your team on the field.
All right. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
That's Emporia High baseball coach Anthony Markowitz joining us here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We need to get a break in. In fact, we need a good couple in here before we get done with the hour. We'll take our first break. You're listening to Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We're driven by LongmineAuto.com.
At Longmine Auto Plaza in Emporia, our annual March Savings Mania event is back for another year. The fun is here, and so is your chance for special March savings. We have new Chevy models in stock and more arriving every day. Save thousands in interest alone with 0% APR financing up to 36 months on select new 2023 Chevy Silverado models, including crew cabs. And when you purchase any new or used vehicle in stock, you'll get 5 free throw attempts for an extra $100 savings for every free throw you make up to $500. Don't forget to let our service professionals keep your vehicles running in top condition with our spring service specials. It's our annual March Savings Mania Sales event, and it's right here at Longmine Auto Plaza in Emporia. Come in today or visit us at longmineauto.com. Chevy, find new roads. Offers for qualified buyers with GMF financing. All rebates assigned to dealer, tax and fees extra. See dealer for full details.
Are you looking to start or expand a business in the area? Do you want to invest in property development? Do you want to help build or grow events that draw people to our area? Are you someone that wants to volunteer to make the region better? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Emporia Main Street is the organization for you. Visit Emporia Main Street at 727 Commercial Street or visit us online at emporiamainstreet.com. Your path to a better community starts at Emporia Main Street.
I'm Ryan Radke with This Week in the NCAA on Westwood One. Perfection in men's Division II basketball.
For the first time in program history, the Confetti Falls on Nova Southeastern. 111-101 over West Liberty.
Cooper Boardman on Westwood One as Nova Southeastern from Fort Lauderdale capped off their undefeated season with a national championship. The head coach of Nova Southeastern is Jim Crutchfield. He's just the third person in D2 history to take multiple men's programs to the championship game. The other team he took, the team he just beat, West Liberty. Crutchfield was the head coach of the Hilltoppers from 2004 to 2017.
You know, it's a national championship game. It's against a school that I love. A coaching staff that I'm proud of at West Liberty, but I'm so proud of my coaching staff, too.
The 2023 Men's Frozen Four is set. That's next on This Week in the NCAA.
When I can't sleep, my mind just races. I think about work, the kids, but I don't think about taking melatonin because I'm afraid I'll feel groggy in the morning.
ZzzQuil Pure Z's Gummies has an optimal dose of melatonin for no next day grogginess, so you can fall asleep naturally and wake up feeling refreshed. ZzzQuil Pure Z's Gummies, for better sleep like never before. And try Pure Z's Sleep plus Next Day Energy with melatonin plus extended release B vitamins.
Of this year's men's D1 ice hockey championship, starting with the semifinals on Thursday night. Minnesota will face Boston in the first matchup. The Golden Gophers are in their second straight Frozen Four, having lost in the semifinals last season. Michigan is back in and looking for their 10th national title, which would be the most all-time. The Wolverines will play the Quinnipiac Bobcats, who are hunting for their first championship in program history. That's This Week in the NCAA. I'm Ryan Radke on Westwood One.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday morning sports talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back. Saturday morning sports talk. Greg Ray, Tim Miller, and Dylan Sherwood here on this Saturday morning. And we resume our Main Street Athlete of the Week selections this week. And I'm going to start off with the area athlete. This is a young man who is having a tremendous senior high school year. Starting out on the football field, he had a tremendous football season, had a tremendous basketball season, and he's starting off the track and field season in tremendous fashion. Landon Boss of Osage City, track and field, they were competing at the Linden Spring Invitational yesterday. He wins the shot put, the javelin, finishes second in the discus, and in the shot put, he sets an Osage City school record with a heave of 54 feet 10 inches. And Landon Boss of Osage City, our first spring athlete of the week, is going to go out to Landon Boss. And I know we could probably pick him almost every week. He's just had that kind of a special year, but we're going to start off the spring season with our area athlete being Landon Boss of Osage City.
And for Emporia High, I'm going to the track and field team and Fred Jackson. Yesterday, take second in the ESU high school relays, and then he was part of the 4x4 that took sixth. Fred's having a solid senior season, even though he battled some adversity during football. Had a very solid basketball season, but Fred Jackson is our Emporia High Main Street Athlete of the Week.
So Landon Boss of Osage City and Fred Jackson of Emporia High are Main Street Athletes of the Week. And if during the spring season, if you happen to be an Emporia High fan or coach and you feel like one of your athletes deserves to be recognized, shoot me an email, shoot Dylan an email or a text, and we'll be sure to consider those. And same goes for our area athletes. If you have a young athlete, male or female, at any of the area schools, whether it be track and field, baseball, softball, or whatever they may be competing in during this spring season, if they've had an outstanding week, shoot us an email. You can send it to KVOE at KVOE.com or KVOE1400@gmail.com, and we'd be more than happy to consider area athletes for this particular award. And sometimes during the springtime, it's a little more challenging to keep up on some of the accomplishments during the spring, as there's a lot of it going on, and it's not as well documented or covered like it is during the basketball and the football season. But we'd like to consider all of our area athletes at some time or another for our area athletes of the week. And along with that goes a nice little plaque courtesy of Emporia Main Street, as those are pretty sharp looking plaques that we've given out to those that have earned the honor.
I went out to Emporia High on Monday and to deliver Zarek Tunjaruncles to him, and Coach Brooke Madron was there, and he's like, "These are different than last year." I said, "Yeah, it's Main Street that does them." So, very awesome plaques that the athletes get, and it's always great to give it to them, you know, one on one. Sometimes when I present some Emporia High ones, usually the team's all around, and just to see it, the excitement and everything, it's pretty unique that we do this on a weekly basis.
So again, Landon Boss, Fred Jackson, Landon Boss of Osage City, Fred Jackson, Emporia High, our Main Street Athletes of the Week. We'll take our next break, and we'll be back to wrap up this morning's show right after this timeout. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongpineAuto.com.
At Longmont Auto Plaza in Emporia, our annual March Savings Mania event is back for another year. The fun is here, and so is your chance for special March savings. We have new Chevy models in stock and more arriving every day. Save thousands in interest alone with 0% APR financing up to 36 months on select new 2023 Chevy Silverado models, including crew cabs. And when you purchase any new or used vehicle in stock, you'll get 5 free throw attempts for an extra $100 savings for every free throw you make up to $500. Don't forget to let our service professionals keep your vehicles running in top condition with our spring service specials. It's our annual March Savings Mania Sales event, and it's right here at Longmont Auto Plaza in Emporia. Come in today or visit us at longmontauto.com. Chevy, find new roads. Offers for qualified buyers with GMF financing. All rebates assigned to dealer, tax and fees extra. See dealer for full details.
Are you looking to start or expand a business in the area? Do you want to invest in property development? Do you want to help build or grow events that draw people to our area? Are you someone that wants to volunteer to make the region better? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Emporia Main Street is the organization for you. Visit Emporia Main Street at 727 Commercial Street or visit us online at emporiamainstreet.com. Your path to a better community starts at Emporia Main Street.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday Morning Sports Talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back. Saturday Morning Sports Talk. Greg Ray, Tim Miller, and Dylan Sherwood as we get down to the end of this morning's show. And this past week, Emporia State had a couple of basketball players enter the transfer portal, as the transfer portal is now open, and there are a number of players that have entered that. Emporia State, probably the big surprise there. Mayim Boom putting his name in the transfer portal, looking to go play at the Division I level, and he's received quite a bit of interest already. I think at least 10 schools have, according to a tweet I saw from the from an Omaha World Herald reporter, have shown some interest, including Wyoming and South Dakota. So there's some prominent schools that have shown a little bit of interest and maybe wanting to talk to Mayim Boom. And then also Kabaya Shabangu has put his name in the transfer portal on the men's side. And on the women's side, Audrey Beatty from Aubrey, Texas, put her name in the transfer portal, so she'll be transferring. Now, one thing we have to remember is just because you put your name in the transfer portal doesn't mean that you're going to leave the program. You can pull your name out of the transfer portal and you can stay at the school that you're at. This is kind of like a fishing expedition trying to find out what interest might be out there for you. KU has four players, I think, in the transfer portal. And
I'm trying to remember, five. I think they may have five. They have five.
Five in the transfer portal, and again, same scenario for them. If they don't find some place that they want to go to, and KU's still a good viable option, and Bill Self says, yeah, okay, well, you know, you can come try to earn a spot, then they still have a chance to come back and play for KU. Of course, Grady Dickin yesterday announced that he was going to make himself eligible for the NBA draft, and once again, this doesn't mean that his playing days at KU are over. He's just saying he's going to explore the NBA, and he seemed more looks like a lottery pick. And thing that people have to remember with the NBA, the draft only has two rounds. And that's what total of how many NBA teams are there?
I think there's a total of 60 picks in the draft, yeah. Somewhere in that vicinity.
60 yeah. picks, so you know that's not a lot of draft picks out there. So, you know, better if you want to be a lottery draft pick, you want to be a draft pick in the NBA, you better make sure that you're up there. And yeah, you still make some decent money, but sometimes you end up having to go play some G League basketball before you get to the.
Well, and for some of these guys, and so I don't think this includes Grady Dick because I think he's going to stay in the draft, obviously. He's projected to go top 10, top 12. But for some of these guys, a decision now becomes a little more difficult with the NIL deal some of these guys can get. As a matter of fact, there's a rumor going around that Kevin McCullough may reconsider and go back to KU based upon what kind of information he gets through the draft camps. That really kind of changes things for kids now in terms of making a decision whether they're going to go pro. And that doesn't necessarily mean NBA pro. It could be overseas. It could be wherever. But the deals they can get through the NIL now have become something they have to consider.
And some of them can make some really good money off those name, image, likeness opportunities.
Yep.
And it'll be interesting to see how it all unfolds. And, of course, there's a lot of talk. Some NBA or NCAA coaches want Congress to step in and make the change. I don't think they want that.
Yeah, and speaking of the transfer portal, I was a little surprised. The kid at Kansas State,
Ish Masood.
Yeah, I was a little surprised to see his name pop up. I mean, this is a guy that I really thought was going to be a real key component to their team next season. I mean, the guy is, you know, hey, he's 6'9", 6'10", and can hit threes. I mean, he can really stretch you out defensively. And I don't know what his situation is and why he may decide to transfer, but it was just interesting to see his name pop up.
Yeah. It's always interesting to see who does decide. I know Wichita State has had a couple of players step up. Of course, they have a new coach, hired the guy who was at Oral Roberts. I think it's Paul Mills.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Who's the new coach at Wichita State. I saw where Texas Tech hired the guy who was at North Texas.
North Texas, who just just won the men's NIT. McCashlin?
Yes,
like that?
Grant McCashlin. McCashlin.
Good hire. I mean, the guys have done very well, and people at Texas Tech seem to really, really like the hire.
And a longtime assistant to Scott Drew at Baylor.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So he has those Big 12 connections.
And then speaking of coaches, Emporia State still searching for their next head women's basketball coach. Last week I had a chance to just briefly visit with Emporia State Athletic Director David Spafford, and he was getting ready to go down to Dallas for the Final Four and do some interviews down there and do some hunting for the next basketball coach. They've just recently posted that, and they've had a search firm working on that, trying to maybe narrow the list a little bit, and hopefully within the next couple weeks we might find out more information on the next head women's basketball coach at Emporia State.
Well, and you know, you certainly want to do your due diligence, and you don't want to rush into anything. But by the same token, you don't want to stretch this out very long either, with kids making decisions to yeah. what school they're going to go to, and kids within the program. You know, am I going to transfer out based upon, you know, who the coach may be? So and, you don't want to necessarily, you know, stretch it out too far out.
And even the players who were on the recruiting list that had committed verbally and have to wait and find out, okay, who's going to be the next coach? You don't want them have them hanging around too long because they'll say, hey, I need to make a decision on where I'm going to go to school. You don't want to lose out on somebody who could possibly really help you out. But then you also want to give the new coach an opportunity to go out there and maybe find some players to fill some holes that he feels like or she feels like they need to fill for next season.
Yeah, and getting back to Beatty, the gal in the transfer portal, that was disappointing. Hopefully, maybe she'll rethink it and come back, but I thought she had some great potential to really be a nice post player for them. So, hey, to see her, you know, put her name in.
Yeah. But each player needs to do what they feel like mm-hmm. they need to do, and with the transfer portal, it gives them that opportunity where they can be eligible immediately and they don't have to set out. Well, that's going to wrap it up for us on this Saturday morning sports talk. Again, coming up today here on KVOE, NCAA Final Four coverage gets underway at 2:30. First game tips off at 5:09 with Florida Atlantic going up against San Diego State, followed by Connecticut taking on Miami. And over on Mix 104.9 this afternoon, we have Emporia State Baseball as the Hornets play game two of their three-game series with Rogers State. First pitch is set for 2 o'clock. Our coverage getting underway around 1:45 this afternoon with our pregame visit with Coach Seth Wheeler. For Tim Miller, for Dylan Sherwood, I'm Greg Ray. Thanks for listening. Have a good rest of the weekend. This has been Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We've been driven by LongmineAuto.com.
Live and local, 1400 AM KVOE Emporia, 96.9 FM K245 BQ Emporia.
From ABC News, I'm Brian Clark.